giving you a behind-the-scenes look of Smashville's team. This is Preds Insiders with Adam Vingan and Willie Donick. Smashville lives here on 102.5 The Game and the Game Nashville Sports Network.
Preds Insiders on 102.5 The Game. Adam Vingan and Willie Donick here with you. Willie coming to you live from beautiful Montreal, Quebec, Canada, where the Nashville Predators will continue their road trip tomorrow against the Canadiens. Puck drop at 6, pregame at 5, right here on 102.5 The Game. And folks, I have had the honor, the privilege to travel and cover the NHL. And I just have to let you know that within that privilege is the even bigger privilege of having an off day in Montreal. And Willie, I just want to thank you for taking time out of your Montreal off day to talk hockey with me. I know that has to be somewhat difficult because there is so much to explore in that beautiful city. So I just want to start off by saying thank you for being here.
Oh, you're very welcome. I love talking hockey. When you're talking hockey in Montreal or Toronto, it seems like it's even more important than normal. So we're right where we need to be.
And I don't know any French, so there will be no French on the show. Willie, do you happen to know any French?
Nope, I do not. Not at all. And I've already been around today quite a bit, the city. And so we've already experienced quite a bit of French in our midst, even though it's everybody speaks both, but the accents and everything like that, it is definitely different, but in a good way here in Montreal.
If you are a hockey fan, it should be on your bucket list to see a game at Bell Center in Montreal. An absolutely incredible atmosphere. So if you're looking to make a trip to catch a Predators game, it may not happen this season because the game is tomorrow, but maybe next season, if you are looking for a bucket list destination, it has to be Montreal. A wonderful place to visit and to watch a hockey game. But that is tomorrow. Let's start with what happened last night in Toronto, where the Predators suffered their first regulation loss of the season, 7-4 against the Maple Leafs. The Maple Leafs tacked on two empty net goals near the end of regulation from Austin Matthews and William Nylander to make the score look a bit more lopsided. But a 7-4 loss for the Predators. The Maple Leafs jump out to a 2-0 lead in the first period. The Predators responded early in the second period with two quick goals, one from Michael McCarron and one from Eric Halla, before the Maple Leafs ultimately took control. Austin Matthews, midway through the third period, made the score 5-2 in favor of the Maple Leafs. So, Willie, the start of the season had gone so well for the Predators. Their defensive play looked much improved over last season. But as you noted on the broadcast on FanDuel Sports Network, the Maple Leafs, clearly the most talented team that the Predators have faced so far this season. The Maple Leafs, of course, lost Mitch Marner in the offseason to the Vegas Golden Knights, but they still have Austin Matthews, they still have William Nylander, John Tavares, Matthew Nyes, and so on. So what was your biggest takeaway from the Predators' loss, a 7-4 defeat at the hands of the Maple Leafs last night?
I thought that the Predators, for good stretches of the game, did fine containing Toronto. And it's sort of a new look Toronto team. It was curious to see, it was interesting to see Toronto without Mitch Marner, how they've tried to spread the resources around a bit more. I think they have better players at the bottom of their lineup than they have the last few years. So I think they're a solid team. I would say that they're probably the best team that Nashville has faced. And all that being said, I think the formula was still there to have some success last night. They did not get the goaltending that they've been getting from Juuse Saros. Juuse Saarinen, I don't think, had his best game. I think he's capable of a lot better. But he appeared to be a little rusty, a little And he had a couple of tough breaks early that were maybe tough to set aside for him. And I think you could make the argument that if you get a really good game in net there, that game could have been just like the first three, very close going down the stretch of the third period. As it was, Toronto was able to separate with some key plays. And I would say the biggest play in the game was probably the fourth goal, the one that made it 4-2. It really wasn't a great scoring chance. And Toronto was able to take a two-goal lead into the locker room instead of one. But all things considered, I think there were some good things to look at. There's some concerns as well that I think we all knew that the Predators were going to have with some of the question marks. I think those are still noticeable. But so far, a split on the first two road games, not all bad, and a big one tomorrow against Montreal.
A look at some of the fancy stats from last night's game, courtesy of our friends at SportLogic. High danger chances were 19-17 in favor of Toronto. The Predators had a distinct advantage in scoring chances off the cycle. 13 for the Predators, 5 for the Maple Leafs. But one thing to note, Willie, odd man rushes against. Nashville had 6 against. Toronto had 2 against. Or, to put it another way, Toronto had 6 odd man rushes. The Predators had 2. And early in the season, Willie, the first couple of games, the Predators did a much better job of preventing those odd man rushes, but the Maple Leafs were able to get out in open ice yesterday, and that is a recipe usually for disaster when playing Toronto.
No question about it. And there were some key plays that that Toronto was able to take advantage of those odd man rushes. The one that was maybe the backbreaker, the 2-on-1 that was cashed in by Austin Matthews in the third period, that more or less put the game away. Nashville did a good job of playing to the end, and they scored a couple late to try to get within 2 and pull the goaltender, and that's why they gave up the 2 empty net goals. So the score, 7-4, was a little bit deceiving because of all the craziness that happened, in the last 5 or 6 minutes of the game. But you're right. There were key odd man rushes that Nashville gave up that they hadn't been giving up, and that will not be good against tomorrow's opponent as well in Montreal. That is a very dangerous rush team. So that's something they're going to have to fix. But I think when they have played their system, they have a formula that I think is going to keep them in games, and they just got out of it a little bit defensively last night. It also helps when you can play from the lead or play even, and the fact that they were chasing the game just a little bit last night also makes it a little tougher to play the way they want to play.
The Predators went 0-for-2 on the power play against the Maple Leafs. Nashville is 1-for-17 on the power play through its first 4 games of the season. That one power play goal, correct me if I'm wrong, Willie, was Ryan O'Reilly's game-winning goal against the Columbus Blue Jackets on opening night. Other than that, the Predators have been unable to score on the power play. What's interesting to me, Willie, and you tell me if you agree, that top unit, O'Reilly, Josi, Forsberg, Stamkos, and Marchessault, they've actually done a decent job of generating good looks on the power play, despite the fact that the team as a whole is 1-for-17 on the power play. There are 17 power play units in the NHL that have played at least 10 minutes so far this season. Again, 17. That Predators top unit is 4th out of 17 in expected goals per 20 minutes, which is a fancy way of saying they are generating good looks. They just haven't been able to score. Does your eye test match what the statistics say?
Yes, I think so. It needs to be better. I don't think it's been extremely unlucky, but I do think that they're getting chances that would at least equate to a decent power play. I think when you look big picture, if you're going to have the season that you want, they need a better than average power play, because 5-on-5, I think they're going to do well. There's a lot of things to be determined. How much are the young players going to ultimately be able to give them to boost and get that extra goal here and there? We still haven't seen a big surge from Steven Stamkos. Philip Forsberg hasn't gotten hot yet. Roman Josi got his first goal last night. We'll see if he can help generate more offense, but you're going to need your power play to convert. 1 for 17 is kind of extreme. I think they probably deserve a little bit better than that, but you have to find a way to convert. I think I asked Andrew Burnett about it yesterday before the game, and he said one thing that will help them. They don't have the super speed. Remember, the best player at carrying the mail, surprisingly, who was really good at it in terms of getting set up in the zone when you're coming up the ice, which is a very important element, was Gus Nyquist. And he just seemed to have a great knack of knowing where to skate it, whether to make the pass, whether to skate it in, how to play it. And he's not there anymore, obviously. And so they don't have the guy that's quite as good. So entries will be important, something to watch. That's one area. But they feel like if they can win faceoffs and get set up, they're going to get their looks with the five guys that are going to decide whether they have a good power play tonight. The five that they're going with are probably the five to watch the rest of the year.
Quickly, one thing that was working for the Predators last night, the forecheck. Three of their goals were scored off the forecheck. The two early in the second period by Michael McCarron and Eric Halla, and even Nick Perbix's goal late in the game was the result of the forecheck. So that was one thing that was clearly working for them last night, Willie.
I think it's going to have to be a source of offense for them, and it was very good. I think Eric Halla's line, and Eric Halla scored a goal where he was coming onto the ice. It was really McCarron's line that started the forecheck. Halla got the goal. But McCarron's line has always been a good forechecking line. He and Cole Smith are very good together. And last night it was Ozzie Weisblatt, who I think fits well on that line. Now, that line got exposed on the other end a couple of times, and McCarron was disappointed. He was our interview after the game. He was a little disappointed in that part of it. But I think they're going to be a good forechecking line. Now, they're not a line that's going to score a lot of goals. The one that's really intriguing is Halla, Bunting, and Jonathan Marchessault. They seem to be creating a lot off of their forechecking. The biggest goal in their win against Ottawa was a great forechecking, tenacious shift that ended up in Marchessault breaking the scoreless tie in the second period. That was a huge play. And so that's where they're going to have to work and get some goals. Because I think, Adam, you would agree, they're not going to get a ton of goals on the rush.
They're
going to get their share of chances, but they're not a team that's going to try to, especially the way they're playing, and Barry Trotz illustrated it yesterday on our show, the way they're playing is they're going to give up a little bit more real estate and time in their own zone. And so they're not going to be as dynamic in transition as maybe ideally Andrew Burnett would like to play, but this is the way they need to play with the personnel that they have.
Coming up next on Preds Insiders, Brady Martin did not play in each of the past two games. We asked Barry Trotz about that on DVD yesterday. We'll play part of his response and discuss it further. That's coming up next on Preds Insiders. Willie Donick and Adam Vingan, 102.5 The Game.
For a young guy like Brady, we said if he's going to play in the National Hockey League in our lineup in the future, he's going to be a top player for us. So you didn't see Brady playing on the fourth line. You saw him playing with Forsberg and O'Reilly. We tried to give him a glimpse at that. We also tried to shield him by playing him in the home game so that Andrew could get the trust of Brady, get the matchups he wants. And then obviously going on the road, we want to continue to have a good start here. We took him out because, for Brady, who's a young guy, I mean, he could go at probably a 80% level and be very effective in junior, but he's going 100% all the time at this level. And so we wanted to play him in two games. So if he slipped, he could go right back in and feel comfortable about that. We went on the road, we pulled him out. We're going to probably have him out, these two games, and then we'll reassess it after that.
That was Barry Trotz on D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick yesterday. Of course, two-thirds of that show is here with you right now. Adam Vingan and Willie Donick here on Preds Insiders on 102.5 The Game. So Brady Martin, after making his NHL debut in the Predators season opener against Columbus and also playing on Saturday against Utah, picking up his first career point on an assist, he does not play in each of the past two games at Ottawa and at Toronto. We'll see if he makes an appearance on the rest of this road trip tomorrow in Montreal and Saturday in Winnipeg. But Willie, I thought Trotz's answer, and that was only a portion of it, Trotz's answer on Martin was interesting because, as he said, he wants Brady Martin to be in the best position to succeed. And through two games, he put Martin, or Brunette, Andrew Brunette put Martin, although Trotz certainly has a say in it, they put Brady Martin on the top line in between Philip Forsberg and Ryan O'Reilly. And I understand going on the road, you're not dictating the matchups. Ottawa and Toronto have some excellent centers, as do Montreal and Winnipeg. So I understand wanting to shield Martin from that on this road trip. But the question I have is, what's best for Brady Martin? Is it remaining with the Predators, maybe not playing in every game? Barry Trotz mentioned to us yesterday, Willie, that he sat with Brady Martin during a portion of the game in Ottawa and talked with him, and they watched the game together, analyzed the game together. Is it better for Brady Martin to not play but still be around the Predators? He gets to practice with the Predators. He gets to travel with the Predators. He gets a look at what the NHL lifestyle is like. Or is it better for Brady Martin to go back to the junior ranks, play a lot of games, play a lot of minutes, and develop that way? So I think that's going to be the central question moving forward until the Predators ultimately make the decision on whether to keep him past nine games or to send him back to junior.
That is the question. And I think what we have to make sure we keep in mind is if they didn't sit him, then you would have a decision to make, and a very big one, if you played him in the first nine games of the season. At the end of next week, a week from Saturday, you would have to make a decision that is a six-month decision next week. So that's part of the reason that you're going to sit him in some games, is to buy yourself some time. So if you sit him, say, at least one of these next two road trips, you're basically buying yourself another week, right? You would now have all the way to the end of October. And then if you sit him a couple more games, you can buy yourself another week, right? Because you play about three games a week. So just looking at the schedule, you can stretch out that decision. And in the meantime, you heard Barry Trotz illustrate some of the things that they think are constructive of having a kid that young be here and get something out of it, even if he's not playing in the game. You mentioned the practices. I thought it was very interesting that he shared that he watched a period with Brady Martin up in the coach's booth, if you will, the extra personnel that sits up high. You can watch the game up top, you can watch the replays, and you can talk through situations. I think that's something that maybe you wouldn't get when you go back to juniors, right? You're watching the best players in the world at the highest level, and it's constructive. So he illustrated a few more things, too. The lifestyle, you know, he's experienced now traveling back-to-back, what that's like on a plane, on the charter, getting in late, turning it back around, going through the meetings. So that's a unique situation, too. So it's really interesting to me. They played him the first couple of home games, and I was looking at this, Adam. They played him with top players, right? Forsberg and Ryan O'Reilly. They let him play center, and they started that line in 50% of offensive zone starts. In other words, the most advantageous position you could put a guy in. You're starting in the offensive zone. So you're protecting him. You're putting him in a position to succeed. So it's clear that they put a lot of thought into this. But ultimately, now, Adam, I'll ask you. When you heard Barry Trotz's answer, it sounded to me like they were still leaving the door open, the possibility of keeping him here the whole season. They have not made up their mind. It's not like, hey, once he plays nine, he's going back. At least I think they have an open-minded. He said something along the lines of, if we feel like he's continuing to pass all the tests, we would consider it. Did you pick up that?
Yeah, I thought I heard that as well. And
did that surprise you?
Kind of, because I want to see Brady Martin. I understand the reasoning that Trotz shared with us yesterday about pulling him out of the lineup for these two road games, the first two road games of the season. But I want to see him in some of those uncomfortable situations. So I'll be curious to see if the Predators put Martin back in the lineup tomorrow against Montreal or Saturday against Winnipeg. Because following this road trip, which again concludes on Saturday against the Jets, the Predators come home and have five consecutive home games. So
right.
You could see Brady Martin back in the lineup for all five of those games. And that would be, assuming he doesn't play the rest of the road trip, that would be seven games. They have nine to make that decision. But I want to see how he does when things aren't set up perfectly. As you said, the zone starts in those two games were tilted heavily in the offensive zone, which is incredibly advantageous for any player. And I get why the Predators think that is the best course of action. But if they are considering keeping him for the entire season, and just to remind our listeners, the Predators have nine games for Martin to play before they can either send him back to his junior team and not burn a year off of his entry-level contract, or keep him past that and burn a year off of his entry-level contract. And also, to be clear, just in case you missed it, when he doesn't play, the clock doesn't tick. So
right.
He's been...
So you could spread this over 40 games if you wanted to.
Yes. So he did not play in the past two games. So that those games do not count toward Brady Martin's total. He's still at two. He's not at four. Just being on the roster doesn't count. He has to be active in the lineup. So that's why he's still at two, despite the fact that the Predators have played four games. But if he's going to stick around, Willie, he's going to have to play in some tough spots. And that's why I'm really hoping the Predators will put him in one of these next two games on the road against some tough teams. Montreal and Winnipeg, just like Ottawa and Toronto, made the playoffs last season. So and Montreal, as I mentioned at the top of the show, an incredible atmosphere. I mean, that's a tough spot for any player, let alone an 18-year-old. And we've all seen the battles that the Predators and Jets have had over the years. So I want to see him in one of these two games. I want to see how he looks when things can't be tailored to his needs, for lack of a better term.
Yes, and imagine if you're Andrew Brunette, you're having to balance that with, you know, you can't let the season slip away. You can't set everything aside and make it about Brady Martin. It's got to be something that they're confident enough in that Brady Martin can help them win, because at least at this stage in the season, you know, you're trying to be competitive. You're trying to build a formula that you can have a chance to win every night. And so far, there's some encouraging signs there. It's so much better than last year, right? That's there's clear buy-in. There's clear fight. And I think they have carved out. I think they walk out of the rink knowing, hey, there's a way we can win if everybody is doing what they're supposed to. If you buy into the system, you're going to have a chance here. So that's the struggle, I think. It'd be one thing if you're completely not worried about the results, right? Maybe more like where the Titans are going to be, and you can make it about the development of your best prospect, or more so that way, or maybe a pool of your best prospects. But right now, I think that's not the pure focus of the season. So you're trying to multitask. Eventually, I agree with you. You have to take a look and see what he can do on the road. But I wouldn't be surprised if they continue to string this out and give themselves as much time as possible before they ultimately have to decide long-term what to do this season.
By the way, another team with a player in the same situation made a call on that player yesterday. Braden Coutts, the 15th overall pick of the Vancouver Canucks in the past draft, was sent back to the Western Hockey League on Tuesday. So one team that had a player in the same position as Brady Martin has already pulled the plug, so to speak, on that experiment. And Braden Coutts goes back to juniors. He had 0 points in three games with the Canucks, 10:47 time on ice per game. Martin, one assist in two games, 11:42 time on ice per game, 3 out of 10 in the faceoff circle. So this is something to keep watching as the next few weeks progress. The Predators, once they return home from this road trip, play 5 consecutive home games. So wouldn't shock me if Brady Martin was back in the lineup for most, if not all, of those games. But as I said, I want to see Martin in a tough environment. And if the Predators decide to play him Thursday or Saturday, those would certainly qualify as tough environments. Coming up next on Preds Insiders, we'll take a look at some early season surprises and some early season disappointments with the Nashville Predators. We'll discuss that next. Willie Donick and Adam Bingen here with you. This is Preds Insiders, 102.5 The Game. Preds Insiders on 102.5 The Game. Adam Bingen and Willie Donick here with you. Willie is in beautiful Montreal, Quebec, Canada, where the Predators will continue their road trip tomorrow against the Canadiens. Puck drop at 6, pregame at 5, right here on 102.5 The Game. Of course, you can also catch the television broadcast with Willie Donick, Chris Mason, Hal Gill, and Lindsay Rowley on FanDuel Sports Network. So, Willie, it's been 4 games. The Predators are 2-1-1, a much better start than a year ago when the Predators, as you all know, started 0-5 when the season was basically torpedoed at that point. But the Predators 2-1-1 to start the season. And I try to avoid making grand proclamations after just 4 games. I don't like small samples. I do not like small samples, but the Predators have played 4 games, so that is the sample that we have to work with. So this is what I want us to do, Willie. I want us each to pick a player who has surprised us, pleasantly surprised us, through 4 games, and a player who has disappointed us through 4 games. So I will start. The player who has been a pleasant surprise for me through 4 games is Erik Haula. Erik Haula tied for the team lead in points, 2 goals, 2 assists, 4 points, with Jonathan Marchessault, who also has 2 goals and 2 assists and 4 points through 4 games. And when the Predators acquired Erik Haula in the offseason, brought him back to Nashville after a couple of years away, the Predators actually gave up, if I recall correctly, a 4th-round draft pick to bring back Erik Haula. And I thought to myself, why are they doing that? Erik Haula had a rough season last year in New Jersey. 11 goals, 21 points, and 69 games. I thought, if anything, the Devils should be giving you a draft pick to take on Erik Haula. But I digress. Haula has come back and played the type of game that Predators fans remember during his one season, the 2020-2021 COVID-shortened season. He has come back and played that same way. Willie, I believe you have referenced John Hines' term for Erik Haula, the junkyard dog, and he certainly is playing that way. You've seen it in the way that he has scored goals. He's been solid in the faceoff circle. He got off to an outstanding start in the faceoff circle, won 19 of his first 24 faceoffs. Since then, he's won 9 of 28. But that still works out to 53.9% on the season, which is in line with his career average of 52.6. But I will admit, I've been impressed by Erik Haula through 4 games. I did not expect him to be as impactful offensively as he has. So I will give credit where credit is due, Willie, and tell you that I think Erik Haula has been a pleasant surprise to start the season.
I think he's done exactly what they were hoping he would do, and that is bring some energy, bring some identity. He's a guy that he's a slasher, right? He'll get in there. He'll be aggressive. He wants the matchup. He's not afraid to get the matchup against tough players. He thinks he's good, right? And I think that sort of helps energize a guy like Jonathan Marchessault, who seems to be a completely different player right now. Jonathan Marchessault looks much more like the player that they thought they were getting last year. There's a lot of reasons that Marchessault has shared personally, and also maybe from a hockey standpoint, and Barry Trotz gave us great insight on that yesterday about how there were some uncomfortable conversations between Marchessault and Andrew Burnett over the summer to try to get the two of them on the same page. And so Haula seems to be helping as a catalyst to bring out Marchessault. They're in a role that's been successful so far. We'll see if they can keep it up. Hall is not going to be a point-per-game player. He's got a point in all four games. But I think he's bringing them what they hoped. Like you said, he can play a solid center. He's moving well. He's not showing signs of age, even though he's 34. He's still got some good wheels. He's a very good penalty killer, and the penalty kill has been a strength so far as well. So early signs are that was a good pickup for what they're paying him and what they gave up.
So who has been your pleasant surprise through four games this season?
I think it's the same theme, but it's on the blue line. I think Nick Perbix has been a good pickup and has done what they hoped he would do, and that is bring out the best in Brady Shea. Brady Shea is playing, I think, his best hockey as a Predator. And if you look, you know, he started off so slowly last year. The pairing of Roman Josi and Brady Shea from the get-go, and this is one of a long list of things that didn't go right out of the gate, that was disastrous, right? The whole thing didn't go well. By the end of the year, he was with Nick Blankenberg, and I thought he stabilized. He started to get better slowly, and it was too late to really make a big impact on the season. But I think even Brady Shea felt better about everything by the end of the year. The numbers didn't look awful. He ended up with double-digit goals. But this year, there's an even better level that we're seeing from Brady Shea. You're seeing much more what you thought you were getting when you brought him in. And Perbix has a lot to do with that. I think Nick Perbix, he's very calm. You know where he's going to be. And Adam, you made this point a lot. Brady Shea's partner in Carolina for a long time was a guy named Brett Pesce, mm-hmm. who was also not a flashy offensive guy. Perbix, maybe not as decorated as Pesce, but he's the same type of guy. He's not going to really try to drive the play. He's a smart player. He knows his limitations, and he's going to let Brady Shea be the guy that sort of drives more offense from that spot. So the two, they're both from Minnesota. They seem to connect well on the ice, and the early returns on that pair are positive. So Perbix, I think, has been a nice pickup. But I got to give you credit, Adam. Before free agency started, you circled Perbix as a guy that might be a guy at the right price that they could bring in and help the blue line. He's given them size. He fits more of the defensive approach that they're trying to go with.
I am not afraid of patting myself on the back, so I'll do that.
I'm giving you a full opportunity to do that.
Thank
right
you.
Now.
I'm doing it right now. David James is here with me. He is witnessing me patting myself on the back. Disappointments. For me, it's Steven Stamkos. Stamkos has yet to score this season. He has one assist. I believe he has 8 shots on goal in 4 games. He's coming off of a season where he averaged the fewest shots on goal per game of his 17-year, soon-to-be Hall of Fame career. And I was expecting more from Stamkos out of the gate. I talked to Steven Stamkos last week for a story that was published yesterday on Sportsnet.ca ahead of the game against the Maple Leafs. And he told me how just coming back to training camp this year, it was like night and day from a mental standpoint, because the complicated emotions that came from leaving Tampa after 16 years, those had receded. He was used to seeing himself in anything other than a Lightning uniform. And I thought he would get off to a hotter start. It just hasn't happened yet. We mentioned the fact that the power play has 1 goal in 4 games, 1 for 17. I feel like Stamkos hasn't had too many opportunities to unleash that one-timer so far this season. So I said this last summer when Steven Stamkos signed with the Predators. I wasn't expecting Steven Stamkos to be 40-goal Steven Stamkos with the Predators. He ended up with 27 last season, which is disappointing by his standards. But I thought after having a full offseason, a full season and full offseason with the Predators, his family is settled, he knows where to go, I thought that we would see more from him offensively to start the season. We have yet to see that again. Just one assist, hasn't scored yet. So I have been disappointed so far by the performance of Steven Stamkos.
I think there's another level there. And you and I have discussed that at this stage of his career, I don't think he should be expected to be the huge driver of offense that maybe he once was. I mean, this guy's a Hall of Famer. I think what you're hoping for is that he can be a weapon on the power play, which hasn't happened yet, and that he can be better 5-on-5 in the position they're putting him in this year than last year, where he was playing a lot of center. He hasn't had to play center so far. So part of the reason is he's played on a line often with Fedor Svechkov, and I'll get to him in a minute. And so that line hasn't driven a whole lot. They've also tried, and they did this even more last night, to put Stamkos with Forsberg and O'Reilly. And that looks like it's as it should, be a line that can generate some offense. It hasn't resulted in a lot of in goals yet. So I wonder if ultimately that's where he ends up. They have tried, and you heard Barry Trotz stress this in both of the interviews. We've had him on, I think, three times now, right, Adam?
Twice. We had him last week. We did not have him on the preview show, but we had him yesterday as well. So two interviews with Trotz so far.
Two interviews, and he did a third with Chase and Big Joe, and he has said the same thing in all three. They are trying to spread the veterans out and have a young player on those lines, but they may be ultimately best served having Stamkos with Forsberg and O'Reilly. We'll see. And you saw it more last night in Toronto. When they get behind in particular, or when they get an offensive zone start, it's very tempting, I think, for Andrew Brunette to put Stamkos on that line. Now, let's transition to my person that I think disappointing is, it's too early to really say you're super disappointed, so we're being strong here. But I think what would make things a lot easier for Andrew Brunette is if they can get a little more from Fedor Svechkov, right? He flashes. He's got some good moments within each game. He's got a really good wrist shot, a hard shot that I think will result in some goals. But there's still not quite as much possession and drive, improvement in the faceoff circle, trust, I think, of being able to give him that responsibility that you would need. He's probably miscast at this stage of his career as a number two center. But on this team, that's what he is. Fair to say, Adam? So that's something that we have to see if he can overachieve in that spot. So he's got a lot of responsibility, but I think there's more. They like him. He's still very, very young. I think in another 2 years, you're going to see a way, way better player than you see right now. But in the meantime, what can you get from him? And so can he bring out a little bit better play in Stamkos 5-on-5? That's a big question because it hasn't happened yet.
Coming up next on Preds Insiders, we'll take a look at the remainder of the road trip starting tomorrow against Montreal. That's where Willie is right now. Beautiful Montreal, Quebec, Canada. Adam Vingan, Willie Donick. This is Preds Insiders 102.5 The Game. Preds Insiders 102.5 The Game. Adam Vingan and Willie Donick here with you on Wednesday evening. Willie is in Montreal where the Predators continue their road trip against the Canadiens tomorrow. Puck drop at 6, pregame at 5, right here on 102.5 The Game. The Predators conclude their Canadian road trip on Saturday at Winnipeg. Also a 6 p.m. Central start. But let's focus on tomorrow's game first, Willie. And I'm reminded of what happened the last time the Predators visited Montreal. Again, because the Predators and Canadiens are in different conferences. They only play each other twice a year, once at home, once on the road. So this is the Predators' lone trip to Montreal this season. I can't recall exactly when that game was last season. I want to say it was in maybe December, so roughly halfway, a third into the season. And I remember Jonathan Marchessault, of course, being from Quebec, making some headlines for some comments he had to the French language media when he was there.
Yeah, see, they played a game, and it was in December, I believe, and it was right after the Predators acquired Justus Onanen, and Onanen played a very good game, but they didn't score. They lost, and it was during a stretch of games where they just could not score. They were losing a lot of very close games. They were getting very good goaltending at the time, and they could not figure out a way to win games. And Jonathan Marchessault was very frustrated in how he was being utilized. He felt like he didn't have a set group of players he was playing with. And if you recall, it came to a head because in Montreal, there was a misunderstanding because Andrew Brunette started him off in the starting lineup with somebody that he wasn't going to play the whole game with because they wanted to give him the honor of being of starting in, I guess, the closest thing to his hometown that he's going to play in. And somehow that was misunderstood, and he was like, look at this example. I was starting with somebody I didn't warm up with. I'm on a different line every night, I think was the English translation of what he said to the French media. And boy, did that rub everybody the wrong way. There were internal conversations after that, and it was just another chapter in the early portion of last year where his mother died right before the season started. He was transitioning his family from Las Vegas. He's got four young kids, and he has admitted that he was a mess. It was really tough on him and his entire family. Not to make excuses at all, but it took him 15 games last year even to get to the three-goal mark. Remember, Adam, how long we noted for him to get an even-strength goal. It just never really happened. So fast forward to today, it's a much better feeling I think he has going into Montreal tomorrow. I'm curious what the media asks him about, how he talks about it, because I really enjoyed listening to Barry Trotz talk about the process of trying to connect Andrew Burnett and Jonathan Marchessault, and I feel like they're both in a much better place of understanding one another. Jonathan Marchessault has played the same role every night, all four of these games, same line mates, number one power play, playing with Halla, playing with Bunting. They've had some success. He's had some pucks go in for him. The team's off to a better start. And he has expressed on the Predators podcast, some other interviews, how much better he feels about being in Nashville and being a part of the Predators. So I think tomorrow is an interesting spotlight game for him.
If I recall correctly, it took until game either 20 or 21 last season for Jonathan Marchessault to score his first 5-on-5 goal as a member of the Predators. But the Canadiens are off to a good start as well, 3-1 on the season. They've won three consecutive games. An incredibly dynamic offensive team, second in the NHL in scoring chances so far this season. Nick Suzuki, Cole Caulfield, Ivan Demidov, Lane Hudson on the back end. This is going to be a test for the Predators' defense. We talked about the game against Toronto at the top of the show and how if you let Toronto have its way in open ice, you're going to have problems. And the Predators witnessed that firsthand yesterday. The same applies against the Canadiens. These guys can get up and go, and they have some young, dynamic scorers. Lane Hudson, who just signed a big contract, won the Calder Trophy last year as Rookie of the Year, had 60 assists on the back end last year. One of the best seasons by a rookie blue liner in NHL history. So if the Predators take what they learned from the loss in Toronto and fix those things as they prepare for the Canadiens, we should see a better performance tomorrow.
I look at this. I'm looking at Sportlogic. Odd man rushes at even strength. Montreal is fifth in the league. So that is something I know will be a huge point of emphasis for the Predators, is to try to limit that. And when they've been able to do that against good teams, they've been successful. UC Saros presumably will be back in there and rested tomorrow. He's played three excellent games so far. And so he has made their defense look even better because he's bailed them out a few times. I think, like we've talked about, they believe that if you give UC Saros a chance, and we've illustrated on our broadcast, I don't know if people have noticed, we've tried to emphasize it as much as we can at some of the details they're trying to do differently to allow UC Saros to see the puck and be successful with box outs and taking away certain options to make things predictable in the environment in front. One of the things that they felt got way away from them last year is they completely got away from making things predictable for him. And as you heard Barry Trotz said yesterday, he said there was no goalie on the planet that could have been successful. He goes, I don't care if you took the late Ken Dryden and put him in there, or whoever you think is the greatest of all time.
A former member of the Montreal Canadiens, by chance.
Exactly, a legend who just passed away not that long ago. But he said you can't be successful if you can't put your goalie in a position, in an environment to succeed. So they've done a pretty good job of that so far. It's not always easy when you play against explosive offensive teams, and the Canadians have that kind of explosiveness. So it's another really good test. The Canadians came from behind last night. They were down late to Seattle. They tied it late, and then they won in overtime. So they're feeling very good about their start, coming off the heels of when they really surprised, I think, the whole league of making the playoffs last year.
Absolutely. And they are such a fun team to watch with all of those young difference makers on offense. Quickly, let's look ahead to Saturday against the Winnipeg Jets. Predators fans know what to expect when the Predators play the Jets. Mark Scheifele off to a great start, 6 points in three games. Kyle Connor, who also recently signed a huge deal, 3 goals, 5 points in three games. That's always a tough matchup. These teams certainly dislike each other. So always fun to watch these two teams play, especially in Winnipeg, in the smallest arena in the NHL, but the fans are fantastic. So quickly, your thoughts. I know you're focusing on Montreal because you have to prepare for that broadcast tomorrow, but I know you like to look ahead a little bit. Your thoughts on Winnipeg?
I always enjoy the matchup at Winnipeg because that there's been a lot of good battles between these two teams over the years, but Winnipeg has got some of those same guys, right, that they've had for a long time. You just mentioned a lot of them, Hellebuck and Scheifele and Connor. They've just re-upped with Connor for the long term. They have a little bit of a different look, though. They've got Gus Nyquist now. They lost Nikolai Ehlers, one of those guys that was one of the usual suspects for them for a long time that you got used to seeing. So I want to see if it looks any different, like the Maple Leafs looked different last night in the post-Marner. Everybody's got to evolve. But ultimately, if you're going to do well in the Central, which is a very, very deep division, you got to hold your own against good teams. They were the President's Trophy winner last year. People may not remember that, right? Because the President's Trophy winner doesn't usually win the Stanley Cup. And it's much more a conversation about Edmonton and Dallas and Colorado because Winnipeg hasn't made the deep run in the playoffs. But the last couple of regular seasons, they've been fantastic. And so I'll see, you know, I want to see how this new way that Nashville is playing translates against the Jets because they're going to play them a bunch of times this year.
Predators at Canadiens tomorrow, puck drop at 6, pregame at 5, right here on 102.5 The Game. You can also watch the game with Willie Donick and the crew on FanDuel Sports Network. Again, a 6 p.m. Central puck drop, 5 p.m. pregame here on 102.5 The Game. For Willie Donick, I'm Adam Vingan. This is Preds Insiders, 102.5 The Game.